ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
गुणानुवर्णने खरो हरिर्मन्दिरमार्जनादिश श्रुतिं सकाराच्युत सखतोदये मुकुन्दलङ्गालया दर्शने दृश तद्भृत्य गात्रात् स्पर्शिग्ना सङ्गामं ग्राणां च तत्पादसरोजसौरभे Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind on meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the glories of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the Lord's temple, and his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. He engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temples and Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engaged his sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. He engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of tulsi offered to the Lord, and he engaged his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasad. He engaged his legs in walking to the holy places and temples of the Lord, his head in bowing down before the Lord, and all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service, in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and completely be free from all material desires. Purport by his divine grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord recommends Mayashaktamana Parata Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. This indicates that one must execute devotional service under the guidance of a devotee or directly under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not possible, however, to train oneself without guidance from this spiritual master. Therefore, according to the instructions of Srila Rupa Goswami, the first business of a devotee is to accept a bona fide spiritual master who can train him to engage his various senses in rendering transcendental service to the Lord. The Lord also says in Bhagavad Gita, Asanshayam samagram mam yathagyasyasi yatachchinu. In other words, if one wants to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in completeness, one must follow the prescriptions given by Krishna by following in the footsteps of Maharaj Ambarish. It is said, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktur Uchyate. Bhakti means to engage the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Krishna, who is called Rishikesha or Achyuta. These words are used in these verses. Achyuta sat kathodaye Hrishikesha padha bhavindanane. The words Achyuta and Hrishikesh are also used in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna katha spoken directly by Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam is also Krishna katha because everything described in the Bhagavatam is in relationship with Krishna. So there are two classes of transcendentalists. There is the impersonalist and there is the personalist. They are both, in fact, seeking the divine realization, which is a state of liberation beyond the sufferings of this world. They are both seeking the same one supreme truth who is unlimited and infallible. But Krishna explains in the Gita, Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sthathaiva bhajamyaham Mama Bharat, Manu Bharat, Ante, Manushya Bharat, Sarapasha. That as you approach me, I will reward you accordingly. In fact, I will reveal myself to you accordingly. So the Lord, he has a chintya shakti, inconceivable potency. Just like an ordinary man, he may deal in one way with one person and a completely different way with another person in order to make some profit or maintain a particular friendship. Each personality of each human being has many diversifications. A police officer, when he catches a criminal, he's very harsh and very severe. When he comes home to his children, he's very soft, very warm, very loving. And when he comes under the subjugation of his wife, he's like a pet dog. In this way, one single man can have many, many different apparent personality faces according to his relationships in this world. Krishna is the supreme personality. He is Swayam Bhagavan. And therefore, his inconceivable opulence is that of all living entities, which there are innumerable, he can reciprocate and relate to each and every one of them uniquely, individually, and personally. He does not have the same relationship with any two spirit souls. And how many spirit souls are there? Aham sarvasya prabhavo mato sarvam pravartite. Krishna is the creator of all spiritual and material worlds. How many fish are in the sea? How many blades of grass? How many trees? How many creepers? How many insects? How many reptiles? Birds in the sky, beasts in the land, and how many varieties of human beings? Uncountable, right in this little tiny planet. What to speak of the universe, the creation, and it is just a tiny little particle in comparison to all the living beings in the spiritual world who never refuse service to Krishna and come to this world of birth and death. And all of these living beings, Krishna is eternally reciprocating personally and directly. In this material world, Krishna appears within everyone's heart as the Paramatma. And he is uniquely expanding himself to sit within the heart of every living being. The heart, you may not see the heart of the blade of grass, but actually the blade of grass does have a heart. The heart is the seat of the soul or the consciousness. When we speak of heart, we are not simply limiting the heart to a particular fleshly organ. In human species, it is within that organ that the spirit soul and the Paramatma make their altar or their seat. But in every species of life, according to how the body is designed, the Lord appears within the heart of that living being. And as explained in Bhagavad Gita, Ishwar sarva bhutanam hridesher jinatishtati brahmayan sarva bhuta niyantra rudanimaya. Seated in the heart of every living being, I am fulfilling everyone's desires. I am directing everyone. Sarvasya chaham hridishani vishtom atasmatir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarveraham eva vejo vedanta kridveda vedeva chaham. That from within the heart, the Paramatma, the Lord, is individually dealing with every spirit soul. And according to that spirit soul's desire to approach him, he is providing remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And everyone is approaching Krishna. Because this material energy is none different than him. So when we approach any object of sense gratification, that is our approach to Krishna. If we want to enjoy something apart from Krishna, that means we are approaching Krishna in neglect, in rebellion. And if we want to surrender to Krishna, that means we are approaching him in love. So everyone is approaching Krishna. If you approach him in an exploitative state, not in a service state, then he conceals his presence from within and without to fulfill your desire. Because in the presence of God, if you are conscious of him, how can you engage in sinful activities? Therefore, if you want to engage in sinful activities so much, the Lord simply disappears from your vision so that you can sin to your heart's content. Because that's what it takes for you to be cured or purified from that desire. Otherwise, the desire will simply be restrained and there will never be love. So therefore, in this material world, the Lord is within the form of Paramatma, reciprocating with everyone, covering them over by the potency of Yoga Maya, which casts them under the influence of the three gunas, the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And those who are transcendentalists, those who have become utterly frustrated with the futility of material life, understanding that to seek out temporary pleasure in this world can only frustrate us, can only put us in a condition of anxiety today or tomorrow. Attachment to wealth, attachment to family, attachment to fame and praise, all these things, they taste like nectar in the beginning, but it is guaranteed that they will taste like poison in the end. Now, how to overcome? Krishna explains in the Gita that one must tolerate the urges of the mind and senses. Now, the impersonalist class, their approach to the Lord is they simply want to struggle and strive within their life through their sadhana or their spiritual disciplines to detach themselves from all of the allurements and temptations of this world. And therefore, through such processes as meditation, tapasya consists of austerities, such as fasting, or taking very, very strong and difficult vows in which one restrains his senses, or sometimes they even torture their own bodies, with the purpose that through this process, I will become detached from the sources of misery which are born of the senses and their objects. And thus, their goal is mukti. Mukti means, in essence, the perfection of detachment, which means you no longer have any desire for anything. You no longer have any aspiration for anyone. You are simply floating in that unlimited divine light of the Brahma Jyoti, where there is no duality, and there are no temptations, and there are no desires, and there are no activities, and there is no personality. There is simply a state of eternal existence. Where there is eternal, there cannot be pain. All pain is due to attachment to that which is temporary. But the Vaishnavas, those who are approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their aspiration is not simply to detach themselves from matter, but they are longing day and night They are struggling, they are striving, they are making great sacrifices to become more and more attached to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. They are not concerned with detachment from matter. They are concerned only with one thing: attachment to the service of Krishna. We find in the story of Shukadeva Goswami, who is narrating this particular chapter of Bhagavatam, that he was a Brahmavadi. He was a perfectly liberated soul, utterly detached from the dualities of this temporary existence. And he was enjoying the peace of that condition of life. But then he heard the beautiful glories and the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, and the sweetness, the beauty of this sound vibration completely detached him from his detachment. And his only aspiration was simply to become eternally attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And he gave up that state of liberation and engaged eternally in the loving service of Sri Hari. There are many, many examples. In fact, the great Bilva Mangala Thakur, Lila Shuka, he offered a beautiful prayer that since I have tasted the sweetness of pure devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Hari, mukti or liberation, which is the supreme goal of all sacrifices for the impersonalist class of philosophers, that mukti is standing with folded hands at my door ready to serve me in any way I please. Srila Haridas Thakur, he explained in an assembly of learned souls that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord must be chanted for one purpose alone, that is love for Krishna. We should not chant the holy name of the Lord with the aspiration for any material benediction. Why? Because the holy name has the power to grant you the greatest of all treasures. It is true, if you chant the holy name with a desire for material benedictions, you can appeal to the Lord, and perhaps you will gain the fulfillment of that material position or acquisition. But what a useless, foolish approach is this. It's like approaching a multimillionaire who says, I'll give you anything you want, and you say, give me one chapati. What a useless. You might as well go to anybody and ask for a chapati. You don't go to the wealthiest man who's ready to give you anything. Or there's a story of one person. He was carrying a heavy, heavy load on his shoulder, his right shoulder. And he was becoming so, so tired, and his shoulder was aching so bad. And he began to chant the holy name for relief. And the Lord came, appeared before him, and said, oh, I will grant any desire you have. What would you like? Anything you wish will be fulfilled. He said, my shoulder is aching so much, and I can't move this burden. It's so heavy. Please help me to shift it to the other shoulder so I can get some relief here. That is foolishness. Therefore, Srila Haridas Thakur explained that when one chanting the holy name of the Lord, the supreme benediction for all humanity, pure loving devotion to the supreme truth, is readily available. This should be our aspiration and our goal for chanting the holy name. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to chant properly. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoi taki pai. My Lord, I do not want any amount of wealth, nor do I want any beautiful women, nor do I want any fame or adoration from followers. I do not even want liberation or relief from suffering. I only desire one thing, that sentiment of pure love in which I can birth after birth after birth engage in your devotional service. That is the aspiration that is taught by Sri Chaitanya that should be within our hearts when we chant the holy name. So the devotees of the Lord, their only desire is to ever increasingly become attached to Krishna, attached to everything in relationship with Krishna, his devotees, his prasad, his deities, his holy name. And how to become attached? It's very simple. How do you become attached to something in this world? The more you associate with something nice, the more you become attached to it. Right? If there's a nice food, the more you associate, the more you become attached. Drugs or alcohol. For those in the mode of ignorance, it gives a certain sort of pleasure. At the beginning, you're not attached. You just take it. It doesn't even taste good at all. When a child smokes his first cigarette, it's horrible. But somehow or other, he wants to attach himself to it. So after coughing and suffering for weeks and weeks at a time, finally, due to association, he's so attached he can never forget those cigarettes. Day and night, he's simply meditating, where's my cigarettes? Huh? Due to association. This is a perverted reflection of real life. But the principle is essentially the same. We want to become attached to Krishna like that. Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there is a Sanskrit word, manobiram. And he describes that manobiram means just like a boy and a girl, beautiful boy and beautiful girl, when they associate with one another very much, they become so much attached to each other. They can't stop thinking of each other day and night. When they're together, they want to never leave. When they're apart, they're simply longing to be together. This attachment is born from association. So Rupa Goswami explains that same propensity, if it is simply directed toward Krishna, our lives are on the highest platform of the liberated state of love. So by associating with Krishna, we become attached to him. And how to associate with him. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We can only understand the truth by following in the footsteps of great souls. And here, Maharaj Ambarish, he is a true Mahatma. He is teaching us by his example what a wonderful instruction this is. How at every moment of the day, he's teaching you how you can be attached to Krishna through his association. All of his senses, all of his inclinations, and his mind. How to engage all these faculties in Krishna's association 24 hours a day. This is one of the most important verses to know. Because through understanding these qualities of Maharaj Ambarish, we can learn how to be Krishna conscious at all times. After learning this one verse, we have no excuse for ever being in Maya. Huh? When you don't know something, you have an excuse. I didn't know. But this verse, this shloka, reveals the innermost secret by which it is revealed how at every single moment we can be Krishna conscious and through the process become more and more and more and more attached to Krishna. And as you become attached to Krishna, simultaneously inevitably, you naturally become more and more detached from material enjoyment. Srila Jamuna Acharya, that great Acharya of the Sri Sampradaya, he prayed like this. You know, at one time he was a great king, enjoying the great wealth and opulence of a palace and a kingdom. And he was very much enjoying the facilities that were being provided. And of course, people who like to enjoy material life are especially fond of sex life. Because sex life, as far as material enjoyment goes, is the culmination of pleasure. So Jamunacharya prays, my dear Lord Sri Narayan, since I have tasted the wonderful sweetness that is derived from serving your lotus feet, that flavor is so extraordinarily wonderful and sweet that when I even think of the highest pleasure in this material world, sex enjoyment, I spit at the thought and my lips curl in distaste. That is the natural quality of one who is attached to Krishna. Rupa Goswami, he warns us, if you want to maintain your attachments to family, wealth, home, prestige of this world, please, I warn you, do not go to the bank of the Jamuna at Keshi Ghat, because there you will find the supreme beauty of Govinda, who is standing in the threefold bending form with his lips, which are reflecting the full moonlight of Vrindavan, playing upon his celebrated flute. Because once you see that form, you will never want to go back to the material aspirations of the common man. That's possible. So Maharaj Ambarish is teaching us how to always see Krishna. How to see Krishna. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. And this is the example of Maharaj Ambarish. That through serving Krishna, he wants to see us. And thus he reveals himself. That is the only process by which Krishna can be understood as he is. So we have this mind. What to do with this mind? It's here, there, everywhere, and someplace, it even finds someplace beyond everywhere. Arjuna claims that the mind is more difficult to control than the raging wind. Ambarish explains, by his example, that he always engaged his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet. We all have a propensity to speak. How many times does our uncontrolled propensity to speak get us in so much trouble, create so much anxiety, offend other people? And what we speak, more than anything else, affects our consciousness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that nonsense talk breeds nonsense thought, which breeds the repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jive Pele Vishaya Shagore, that the tongue is the most voracious and uncontrollable of the senses, and by simply controlling the tongue, all the other senses will naturally come in line. The body is like a boat. A boat is very big, but there is something called a rudder, which is just a little, it looks like a tongue actually. It's underneath the boat. And according to how the rudder is directed, the whole boat is directed only by that. So similarly, we have this big, big body and this big, big mind. But this little tongue, it is giving direction to our whole life. If we can control our tongue and direct it toward Krishna, our whole existence will always be directed toward Krishna. So Maharaj Ambarish is giving us by his example the means by which we can control our words. His words in describing the glories of the Lord. We have these indriya, these organs like the hands. What to do with them? The hands, it's hard to keep the hands still. Even when you're just sitting in a place, your hands start going like this, right? They start picking up pencils and picking up whatever's around and just going like this for no reason whatsoever except that the hand just wants to be busy. Everyone is like that. So what to do with your hands? Cut them off? No. The perfection, his hands in cleansing the Lord's temple. His ears, how much the ears want to hear sweet sounds. The ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. The eyes, he engaged his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temples and Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavan. You see, if you use your eyes for these purposes, then the eyes lose all desire to watch the television, to go to the cinema, to look at the phantasmagoric attractions of this world, which are simply meant to divert our attention away from God. Our senses must have engagement. The idle mind, the idle senses are devil's workshop. Therefore, Maharaj Ambarish is teaching us, your eyes want to see something beautiful? Behold the beautiful form of the Lord decorated in the temple. Go there, see that. See him. See the beauty of the temple. Go to the holy places like Mathura, Vrindavan. See the natural sanctity of that place. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktaruchita. When our senses are connected to Krishna through these processes, they become purified. He engaged his sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. That means developing more and more intimate, loving relationships with the devotees of the Lord and serving them. He engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of tulsi offered to the Lord. And he engaged his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasad. He engaged his legs in walking to the holy places and temples of the Lord. His head in humbly bowing down before the Lord and all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharaj Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service, in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. Sarva padiva nirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhaktir Uchite. The same mind, the same senses that we have right now, that are time and time again dragging us from one temptation and allurement to another, attraction and aversion, attraction and aversion, attraction and aversion. In this way, we're just being tossed about by the waves of Maya due to our attachment to sense gratification. But those same senses, which are causing us bondage and suffering, when they are engaged in the service of Rishikesh, the Lord of the senses, we become Niyamalam. Nirmala means to be purified. Our senses become purified of all selfishness, purified from that deep-rooted propensity to lord it over material nature. And in the completely purified state, only one desire remains. My Lord, how can I serve you? I love you. How can I be more and more and more attached to you eternally? How can I ever reciprocate with your love through giving my everything for your pleasure? That unmotivated, uninterrupted state of love is the pure, natural, healthy state of the soul that is part and parcel of Krishna. So the spiritual master, that is his great mercy upon us, is that he teaches us practically on a day-to-day basis how to follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Ambarish and how to keep all of our senses in our mind, all of our inclinations connected to Krishna in the service of Krishna. And it is essential, it is required to accept such a spiritual master. Because after all, how do we know what Krishna wants unless we are under the direction of someone who knows Krishna? The Guru Parampara is that divine system by which the will of God is preserved, protected, and handed down from generation to generation to generation of saintly persons. And when the spiritual master reveals to us this eternal loving message, and we receive it with a submissive heart, then we are the most fortunate of all fortunate souls. Because through the mercy of the spiritual master, one can attain the supreme mercy of Krishna. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada nagati kutopi. And a bona fide spiritual master does not want to cheat us. A real spiritual master never engages us in any activity save and except the activities of Maharaj Ambarish. He teaches us practically, not just some theoretical conceptualization of the truth, but in a very real, down-to-earth, practical, daily way of living, he teaches us how to always be engaged in Krishna's service, and thus how to purify our attachment to his lotus feet. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes. By associating with devotees of the Lord, because they help us fix our mind in the order of the spiritual master. Krishna says in Gita, Vyavashayatmaka buddhiyarekeha kurunandana bahu shaka hinantascha buddhayo vyavashayanam This path is for those who are resolute in purpose and aim is one. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. How to keep our mind, our focus in life, our goal resolute in purpose. How to keep our goal the loving service of God and all living beings who are part of Him. This is only possible by making the instruction of Guru our life and soul. To the extent we make the order of Guru our life and soul, to that extent our mind and senses will be fully attached to Krishna. To the degree we make our own opinions or the opinions of other conditioned souls our guiding light in life, to that degree our consciousness, our intelligence will be many, many, many branched. Krishna says to control the mind it takes constant practice and detachment. What is that practice and detachment? To constantly practice engaging our senses in the service of the instruction of Krishna and Guru. And what is detachment? To not consider relevant anything outside of those instructions. To accept things favorable for devotional service and to reject those things unfavorable to devotional service. What is favorable and what is unfavorable is understood through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Through this process of constant practice and detachment, Krishna says, the mind can be purified, it will be purified by the mercy of God. Krishna says in the second chapter of Gita, by following the regulative principles of freedom, one obtains the complete mercy of the Lord and thus becomes free from all attractions and aversions of this world. So we must practice very sincerely the regulative principles of freedom. And by that, we attract the mercy of God. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasadam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.